السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Before the coming of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some incidents occurred which signified the coming of a prophet and a messenger. And many of these incidents which occurred, we know of and we've read about them and we've heard about them. And many of us know a particular incident which occurred which was revealed in a surah in the Quran, a surah which many of us recite every single day, a surah which many of us memorize from a very young age. Yet, even though we know this surah, and we may even know the story, we may even know the story behind this surah, sometimes we forget some of the benefits and lessons that we can take from this surah itself. And this surah, brothers and sisters, is the surah of Suratul Fil, the incident of the elephant. And this incident which occurred, it starts even before the incident of the people of the elephant. There was once a king who was an oppressive king. And he was someone who was a polytheist. And he ordered the killing of 20,000 Christians. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this story in the Quran. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, that the people of the ditch were killed. أَنَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ, in a fire which had lots of fuel. In this incident, this massacre which took place, one individual survived. One man survived this massacre, and he fled to the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire, they were Christians. And so he tried to send a message to the Caesar at the time for help. When the Caesar heard about this incident and heard about this man, he ordered An-Najashi, the Najashi of Abyssinia, to find out what happened and to help this individual, and to go after this king who had massacred these 20,000 Christians. And this Najashi, it said, was the father of the Najashi who lived during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Kathir, he narrates this whole story about how the Ashabul Fil, how the companions of this of the elephant, and how this story came about. And he says that An-Najashi sent two people into Yemen to find this king: Abraha, who we all know, and Ariyat, another person. And they looked for this king, they searched for this king to bring him to justice for what he had done. And this king, he fled, and it said that he drowned in the sea. And now Abraha and Ariyat were ruling over Yemen. But they would have disputes among themselves, and they would always fight one another, and there would be civil war taking place between them. So one day, they agreed to have a duel, a one-on-one duel. And whoever wins this duel will take over and rule the whole of Yemen for themselves. And when they had this duel, they had the sea behind them, so that neither of them could escape. Ibn Kathir, he mentions a story in Ibn Kathir in his book, in his tafsir of this surah. So they had this duel, and Ariyat had the upper hand in this fight, in this duel. And he slashed the face of Abraha, and he cut his nose and he cut his lip. When Abraha's guard saw what was happening, he jumped in and he killed Ariyat. And so Abraha became the leader of Yemen. And Najashi, when he heard this story, when he heard what had happened, this incident which took place, he became very angry. And he threatened to go onto the soil of Yemen and to kill Abraha himself, and to cut the forelock of Abraha, meaning to humiliate Abraha because of what he had done. And Abraha, out of fear of Najashi, his king, he sent lots of treasures to the king the Abyssinian king An-Najashi. He sent lots of treasures, and he sent with him the soil of Yemen, and he cut his own hair. He humiliated himself and disgraced himself and cut his own hair and sent that hair to An-Najashi. And he said, "I have given you gifts and precious treasures from Yemen, and I've given you the soil of Yemen, and I've even cut off my own hair for you, so you won't even have to come and attack me and hurt me." And so An-Najashi, when he heard this, he became pleased. Abraha, to please An-Najashi even more, decided to build a huge church, something which would be even greater than the Kaaba itself. And so he built this church, which was known as Al-Qulais. And they said it was called Al-Qulais because when the people would look up at it, because of its huge size, people would look up at this huge building, this huge wonder. They would look up at this building and their caps would fall off from their heads because of its huge and sheer size. And you all know the story of what happened. It said that a man from the Quraysh came and he was angry because Abraha had built this to compete with the Kaaba itself. And he defecated in the church itself. Abraha, as a result of this, became angry. And so he decided to set up and mount a huge army to attack the Kaaba itself. And in this army, Ibn Kathir says that there were 12 elephants. And his intention was to go to the Kaaba and use these elephants to demolish the Kaaba itself by attaching chains to the Kaaba and then making the elephants march away from the Kaaba and make the whole of the Kaaba crumble and destroy the Kaaba in this way. He was making his way towards Mecca to attack the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the Arabs, they tried to fight him without any success. When they arrived on the outskirts of Mecca, they captured some camels. They said about 200 camels. And when they captured these camels, Abdul Muttalib was called by Abraha because he was the leader of the Quraysh and he was a representative of Quraysh. And so Abraha, when he saw Abdul Muttalib come in, he was impressed by him. It said that he was someone who was a large man, and it said that he was someone who was handsome. So Abraha was impressed by this individual, by his presence. And when they started to speak, Abraha asked him, "What do you want? What do you want from me?" And so Abdul Muttalib said to him, "I want my 200 camels back." So Abraha said to him, I have come here to attack the house of your God. And when I saw you come in, I was impressed with you. I was impressed with you, with the way you were. But now that you've spoken, I've lost my respect for you. Because I've come to destroy your house and you're complaining about the camels. And you all know what Abdul Muttalib said. He said, as for the camels, then they belong to me. I am the Lord of the camels. And as for the Kaaba, then his Lord or its Lord is going to deal with it. And so Abraha said to him, nobody is going to be able to stop me today. And Abdul Muttalib said, we shall see. Abdul Muttalib, he left and he ordered the people to leave the city of Mecca and to flee to a mountain. And Abraha, when he got ready to enter into Mecca and to attack the Kaaba and to attack the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he got his elephants ready. But the elephants refused to move. The elephants refused to go towards direction of Mecca. They refused to go towards the direction of the Kaaba itself. When they would face the elephants towards the east, or towards the west, or towards the south, back towards Yemen, they would start to move. But when they would be facing towards the north, towards the Kaaba itself, they would refuse to move. And the army and the soldiers, they would try many methods to make these elephants move. They would whip it. They would use their swords on those elephants. They would use staffs with hooked edges, with hooked blades, to dig into the elephants, to lift them up, to make them move. Even then they refused to move, because they were under the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the camels and the elephants, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had refused that they would enter into Mecca and destroy the Kaaba itself. And then you all know what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Do you not see? Do you not understand? Do you not, can you not conceive how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did to the companions of the elephant? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Don't you see? And didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make their plot into misguidance? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ. And he sent upon them birds in flocks. Flock after flock. Continuously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds upon them to attack them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Didn't we make their plot and send their plot into misguidance? The word kaid is used for something which is done in secret. You know, a plot is something which not everyone knows about. Yet Abraha is going to Mecca in broad daylight with a huge army that nobody can miss. So why is it called a kaid? Why is it called a plot? Where is the plot here? What's so secretive about this? The scholars, they say that his intentions were hidden, or some of his intentions were hidden, and that the real reason that he wanted to attack the Kaaba was because he wanted the trade route to go away from the city of Mecca and towards Yemen itself, so that he would be successful, so that there would be more money coming into Yemen itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ. And we sent upon them birds in flocks. Ibn Kathir, he says that the birds that were sent, they were birds from the sea. They came from the direction of the sea. And he said that some of them had the faces of predators. They had the faces of predators and of lions. And some of them, it said that the claws were like the claws of predators and the claws of dogs. And Ibn Kathir, he says that each bird had three, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. That these birds, they had stones of clay. Ibn Kathir, he says that the birds had three stones of clay. One in their mouth and one each in the paws. One each in the claws of these birds. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. And as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them like chewed up straw, like eaten up straw. They were strewn everywhere on the battlefield. There was nothing left of them. Some of them tried to make their way back
to Yemen itself. When the birds threw those stones, it said that the wind, a specific wind was sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which increased the speed of these stones. And these stones penetrated the top of these soldiers and came out of the other side. And this was the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these people who intended evil on the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the symbol of Islam. It said that Abraha was also afflicted with this illness, with this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was trying to make his way back to Yemen, but he died along the way. And his limbs began to fall off. Just like other soldiers, their limbs began to fall off. And as he made his way back towards Yemen, it said that there was nothing left of him except for the size of a chick, a small baby. And others say that his heart fell out of his body. That's how much the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on those people who wished to attack the symbol of Islam, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We were talking about the incident of the people of the elephant and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his house, the Kaaba, the symbol of Islam, from these people who intended to do harm and to destroy the Kaaba itself. And this is a surah which many of us know and many of us recite and many of us have maybe heard this story before. But I wanted to mention some lessons from this surah. Some practical lessons that we can take from this surah of the people of the elephant. One of the things that the scholars mention about this surah is they say that why was this surah only mentioned once in the whole of the Quran? Such a huge incident, such a great incident. And it's only mentioned once in the whole of the Quran and specifically in this surah, which is only a few ayat, only a small number of ayat. And the scholars, they say the reason for this is so that the Quraysh won't become arrogant, so that they won't become proud, so that they won't have this pride thinking that they have this honor, that they have this respect, that they were protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they are somehow in the right. Sometimes things happen to us, good things happen to us, and we think or we become proud of what we have. We have this pride in our hearts for the things that we have. And we forget that all things happen because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any blessing that we've been given, any good thing that we have, it's only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was gracious enough that He gave those things to us. So an individual should always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing that he's been given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "In shakartum la azidannakum." If you're grateful for what you have, I myself will increase you. Also, from the lessons that we can take from this surah is the importance of supplication and the importance of dua and the effect of dua. These people who were living in Makkah, they made dua, they supplicated. Abdul Muttalib himself hung on to the doors of the Kaaba, and he would supplicate. And he would say, "My Lord, this Kaaba belongs to you, and you are the only one who can protect it." The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in Makkah, he was praying by the Kaaba one day. And so some of the elders of Jahiliyyah, some of the elders of Quraysh, they were sitting there, and one of them said, "Which one of you is willing to take some camel's intestines and put it on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" So one of them went and he did exactly this. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he raised his hands towards the sky and he started to supplicate against every single one of them who was in the masjid at the time, who was by the Kaaba at the time. And he supplicated against them. And this was in the city of Makkah. This was before he was even in Medina. 10 years later, those very same people who he made dua against, they were killed at the Battle of Badr. 10 years later, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had patience when it came to making dua. He wasn't someone who was impatient. When one of us supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't be hasty when you're making dua. Don't be hasty expecting a quick response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ You will be responded to مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ So long as you don't become hasty. And you say, دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِبْ لِي I made dua, but I wasn't responded to. When a person complains after he makes dua, that's one of the reasons why his dua won't be accepted. A person, when he supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he makes dua to Allah azza wa jal, he should have patience. He shouldn't complain. And he should continuously make dua. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his supplication was answered 10 years after he made that supplication. And this was the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the best of creation. Yet he had to wait 10 years before his supplication was going to be answered. Also from the lessons that we can take from this surah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always help you even if nobody else will help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always help you. There was no one who could protect the house of Allah. No one from the creation who could defend the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who tried, they were killed. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the house of Allah azza wa jal by sending birds from the sky, by causing such a severe punishment on those people who wish to cause harm to his house. We should always remember, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for us. And we can always supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that even if it feels like nobody else is there to help us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forsake an individual, so long as he has this sincerity and he has faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, this story tells us that there is ease after hardship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى Verily after hardship there is ease, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى After hardship there is ease. A person will have two eases after hardship. And you look at this story, and you look at how it started with something so catastrophic, with something so violent, with such an evil thing which took place, a massacre of 20,000 people. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ That they were only killed because they used to worship Allah, because they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, out of this incident, out of this massacre which occurred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down one of the signs which we still remember up till today. And as a result of which, it signified the coming of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes certain things happen, things which we can't even conceive. At the time when these people were killed, 20,000, maybe some people questioned their faith. Why didn't anything happen? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them? وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ He plans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. There's no one who's better when it comes to planning things than Allah azza wa jal. There's no one who is as perfect as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to worldly things. And so this incident which occurred, even though it was a massacre, even though it was something, you know, which we would think was disastrous in our eyes, there was good which came out of it. And likewise today, brothers and sisters, when we see things happening around the world, we have to realize and understand that there is a plan behind all of these things. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things which sometimes we don't understand. We don't realize why these things are happening. But there is some wisdom behind them. Whether we understand them, whether we know them or we don't. Also from the lessons that we can take from this surah, brothers and sisters, is the sacredness and the status of the Kaaba in Islam. The fact that the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't protected by any of the creation. But it was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended. Because he wanted to show the people. He wanted it to be a lesson for those who come after. He wanted everyone to realize the status of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that not only was it saved, but the fact that it was saved not by the creation, but by the Creator himself. He intended that no creation will be able to defend it. So that the people will see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tayran ababil, when he sends birds in flux, that the people will remember, that the people will realize the status and the symbolism and the respect and the prestige that the Kaaba holds. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful that he will defend the Kaaba himself. And this also shows us, brothers and sisters, the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should make a person fear the power and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah azza wa jal can send a punishment like this on this earth, then we can only begin to imagine the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of those who disbelieve in him on the day of judgment, in the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from his punishment. So this surah, brothers and sisters, it should give us lessons that we can take. It should tremble the heart when we recite. It should make us ponder the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah, which many of us know, many of us recite, maybe after this, when we recite it, we can take lessons and we can look at it from ways which we never even thought of before. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we benefit from the words and from the ayat and from the surahs that we recite from his book. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Inna Allaha ya'murukum bil 'adli wal ihsan وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم ودعوه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون أقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر والله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر والله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So, straighten your rows. Straightening the rows is from the perfection of the prayer, so make sure your rows are straight. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.